Hi, it's Barry here from Turning the Page again, and it's just so good to see you or hear from you again. And today's topic is around your faith, and it's titled "Your Faith Has Made You Unwell." I once talked with someone, and they just seemed incredibly loaded down, like they were just carrying this huge, heavy weight. You couldn't see it, but as you listen, you could actually hear it and feel it. It was a load of religious shame, guilt, questions they had, and just a general confusion. Questions like, did I do something bad and God is punishing me for with this mental illness? Another question might have been, I've prayed and prayed, but God hasn't answered. I don't have enough faith. Then there's another one, the pastor says there's sin in my life. And I did what the church elders told me to do. Now I'm in an abusive relationship. Or I keep going to church, but nobody talks to me. It's like I'm not meeting some sort of standard. And perhaps you could actually add something to this list. You know, I've heard so many statements like those above. You know, they all fill me, though, with a sense of both sadness and anger that we continue to shoot our wounded and poison our little ones. And there's a story, a Jesus story, that I thought I'd like to share with you today. And it's in both Matthew and in Mark. And it's a story of a woman that was hemorrhaging blood all the time. And here's the story. Then suddenly a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years came up behind him, that's Jesus, and touched the fringe of his cloak. For she said to herself, if I only touch his cloak, I will be made well. Jesus turned, and seeing her, he said, take heart, daughter, your faith has made you well. And instantly the woman was made well. So we who want the prescription to health and wellness look to the doctor's notes and see that it was her faith that made her well. And we conclude that we need more faith. So we try harder. We read more, give more, pray more. It seems like it's all about more, more, more. And we ask questions such as, what happened? What actually happened to this woman? Can we replicate it into our situation? What is the secret thing that's going on here? You know, I don't know exactly what happened, but something quite miraculous took place that will confound and frustrate the mechanic and the chess player in all of us. We like to have the answers, don't we? But there's so much that we just don't understand. What we can say is that her pistis, which is means faith in Greek, so her belief, her trust, her confidence, contributed in some way to her healing and being made whole. We know actually very little about this woman other than what the story tells us. We do know that she was part of a faith and that she had a personal faith. So there's being part of a faith, and we are all part of a faith. It could be a Christian faith, but also could be Muslim, Buddhist, etc. And a faith is really a collective of people that believe certain things and group themselves around those beliefs. Breaking it down further, it could be a denomination, a church grouping, a small group. But for the purpose of this post, let's assume this woman was part of the Jewish faith tradition. Her understanding of what God was like had been shaped by years and years of teaching and training. It was a faith that had rules around ritual cleanliness, bleeding. She would have known the rules. Don't touch the rabbi, in this case it was Jesus, or you'll make him unclean. So she was also engaging with an emerging and new faith. You know, this way of Jesus was now the faith expression that had a pull on her life. And she had been watching Jesus, learning from him, and feeding off his every word and action. Then there's a personal faith. There's your own inner personal faith, your own set of beliefs and convictions, what you put your trust in and confidence in. Now, we are shaped and we're molded, mostly in early childhood years, by our parents and other groupings such as the faith traditions you're exposed to. However, something was changing in this woman's life, I believe. Her personal faith was evolving and changing as she encountered Jesus. His loving, caring, and compassionate responses to the outsider invited her to a place where she decided that maybe the merest touch of his cloak might just change her life. And it did. Look, I once talked with a man who wanted to challenge me with his religious rule-keeping. Everything was black and white for him. Instead, I suggested we talk about the stories of Jesus. I don't want to talk about the Jesus stories, was his response. Well, I didn't really want to talk to him much either, did I? But I believe his faith was making him unwell, not whole. There was no sense of life, of completeness. And in his strong, rule-bound religious life, there was little room for love and grace. The problem was that he was passing on this toxicity to others, vulnerable others. At the extreme level of spiritual abuse, we have the cults, where it's all about mind control, obey the leader, and follow the rules. But sadly, I know that no churches where similar abuses happen. They're probably not quite so obvious. It's subtle, but it's there. Follow the rules of the and behaviors of the group, or you're out, or just pushed aside. All those messages, spoken and unspoken, get sown into the soul, and they can cripple a person's personal faith. You know, it was a huge leap of faith for this woman to reach out and touch the hem of Jesus' cloak. It was faith reaching for the fringe. And when you are questioning your faith tradition and all the beliefs and convictions you have held dear, there comes a moment of decision. Will I stay within the confines of what is familiar and known, or will I reach out and take a risk? You know, the fringe is always there for you to reach out and touch. You see, I want to meet Jesus, not the Jesus of religious conformity, but the Jesus who went to the edges of life, the Jesus that will rattle the religious rules out of me. You know, he's the one that turned water into wine. He's the one, he's the God who danced on water and ate with the outsider. See, that's the Jesus we all need to encounter and be on the fringe with. Look, as I listen to people, I sense the urge to point them to the real Jesus, to tell them stories of Jesus and invite them to touch his fringe. It's risky, dangerous, but oh, so good. C.S. Lewis, he perfectly portrays Jesus as the lion that Aslan to some children. And I love this quote from The Lion, Witch in the Wardrobe. And little Susan, she says to Mr. Beebe, says, Aslan? It's a lion? The lion? The great lion? Oh, said Susan. I thought he was a man. Is he quite safe? I shall rather be nervous about meeting a lion. Safe, said Mr. Beebe. Who said anything about safe? Of course he isn't safe, but he's good. He's the king, I tell you. And that's from The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. And we need to encounter Jesus and let him, let his life change us, and he'll rattle our cages. Mental health is having a growing, changing, evolving experience of faith as we touch the hem of Jesus' garment. Here's some quotes to consider. This is from Bruce Cockburn. There are others who know about this miracle birth. The humblest of people catch a glimpse of their worth. For it isn't to the palace that the Christ child comes, but to shepherds and street peoples, hookers and bums. And this is from Richard Rohr. Faith is the willingness not to be certain and still to say, you know what, it's okay. I can live with it. It's all right. It's what it is. Faith is not the opposite of doubt. Faith is the opposite of certitude. When you don't need to be certain to be happy, if you can't go there, you'll never be happy because you'll never get logical certitude. If you're waiting for 100% certitude, you're never going to be happy. Richard Rohr. And this is from Abraham Joshua Heschel. Faith is not the clinging to a shrine, but an endless pilgrimage of the heart. Love that. So some questions. How has your faith developed and changed over time? Number two, what is it like to leave behind some of the old faith conclusions you have made to embrace new ones? And number three, what does being well look like for you? And number four, what would change in you if you touched the fringe of Jesus' hem, the fringe or hem of Jesus' cloak? What would have a radical change within you and your psyche and your faith? Hey, I hope you found this really helpful, and I'd just like to encourage you to email me and let's get a conversation. I'd love to hear from my listeners and readers. It's barry@turningthepage.co.nz. And I just want to say thank you for watching or listening. And yeah, please email me. I really love to hear from my people and get to know what's happening. And if you'd like to support what I'm doing here, that's really helpful. I've got costs. So come to turningthepage.co.nz/support. And you can find a range of different ways in which you can support what I'm doing here and bring some hope and some truth into the world and helping lots and lots of people. Hey, thanks for watching and listening. And I pray that you're doing well. And I look forward to catching up with you next week and where we can just continue this conversation. Okay. Thanks. Bye.